You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is Feb 22, 2022. The Russians are in Ukraine. And how far they're going to go, that remains to be seen. The information coming from the White House has been kind of garbled, confusing. The Russian president went on air early this morning, U.S. time, announced that he was officially annexing two of the breakaway republics in the bottom of Ukraine. They have been mostly Russian favorites before. They have about some 4.5 million or more there that have mostly Russian passports. And we're getting different information out of the White House. Forgive me while I'm stumbling around here, especially if you're watching us at Larry Connors USA YouTube right now. I'm trying to find the very latest information. I mean, the information is all over the board. Biden is now saying additional U.S. Please listen carefully. Biden is saying additional U.S. forces will be used to assist NATO countries. Ukraine is not a NATO country. That's been the sticking point for Russia. They did not want it to become a NATO country because that would put Western thoughts and European allies closer to them than they want. They want that either as a buffer or to take it on as themselves. Biden is calling out Russia, saying that it has been stockpiling blood, arguing it is a clear sign they intend to invade. And he is now expediting some sanctions, which basically impose some major financial institutions being involved, some countries that trade with Russia. Well, looky-looky, who's trading with Russia? The U.S. We rely upon Russia for oil and gas. We are no longer energy dependent. We could be. We could be if Biden hadn't come in right away and immediately shut down a lot of fossil fuel operations and threatened to close some more. The reaction on Wall Street, as you can imagine, has been kind of trending down. The last number I saw, again, let me pull it up because it's all over the board. The last number I saw, it's down around maybe 300, if that much. The Russian stocks are whipsawing back and forth. Their stock index bringing losses down. The ruble falling against the U.S. dollar. And the Russian President Putin is also saying he will send more troops into Ukraine. And the White House says, at least in one part of the statement that was released, as of yesterday, that would not trigger additional sanctions. I mean, I don't know what's really going on. I wish I could give you a more definitive answer. And if I can't do it, I think about the people that are making the decisions. What do they know, and what do they know they can or can't do, and what are they trying to do? All right, let's come back into our country for a moment. First of all, we do have, anytime we have forces training, those serving in our military, they're at risk. And we had two Black Hawk helicopters in a training accident in Utah. Apparently, no crew members injured. Glad to report that. This trucker convoy that's planning to go to D.C. from L.A. to protest mandates just in time for Joe Biden's State of the Union address March 1. They're saying they got 38,000 lined up now. They're going to go through parts of the Midwest. At Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, I do have posted what one listener sent as a possible route through the area. In the meantime, the Canadian Parliament voted last night to approve Justin Trudeau's motion to invoke the Emergencies Act by a vote of 185-5 for, 151 against. They're going to try to seize trucks, seize their gas, seize their homes, anything they can. That's democracy north of our border. Oh, we got more on that coming up in the next segment. You don't want to miss it. And then in a mood to deal with police and fossil fuel, Californians, the Democrat State Party, deciding it would no longer accept campaign contributions from some fossil fuel entities and some law enforcement. Let me put it this way to you. If any law enforcement group out there is giving money to the Democrats, shame on you. Shame on you. Take a break. I'll calm down. We're still at Larry Connors USA live streaming right now.
Larry Connors USA news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've heard the words of my colleague on the other side of the floor, and so I have a few questions. As a Jewish member of parliament myself and a descendant of survivors of the Holocaust as well, I, like many Canadians, were shocked to see Nazi flags, Confederate flags, dismayed and angry and hurt, horribly hurt. So how many Nazi flags does it take?
How many Nazi flags does it take? Now, that's a liberal member of the Canadian Parliament. I'm not going to take anything away from her feeling hurt since she's Jewish, and I caught a reference to Holocaust. I didn't hear that she was a survivor, but obviously I have concern about that as well. Right now, the Canadian Senate is supposedly looking over what the Canadian Parliament voted on last night, and that was to approve Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's motion to invoke the Emergencies Act by a vote of 185 for, 151 against. Now, what the Lady of Parliament, Sachs is her last name, was speaking about is Nazi flags were flying from some of the trucks that were in that trucker's convoy. If there were, there were very few, because believe me, if there were. And in fact, there's also a report of a Confederate flag. And I think the Confederate flag might have been there, but who in the hell in Canada knows that much about Confederates, what it really means? I mean, you're not talking about a country that's really big on black people or people of any color when you get down to it in Canada. Let's be honest about it. But aside from that, one or both of them had been shipped out of a picture session in Florida. It was never there. Now, here's the other thing. In this country, under our First Amendment right, you are allowed to stamp and stomp on a U.S. flag, set it on fire, wipe your tail with it if you want to, and nothing can be done to you. But in Canada, If you dare scrawl a message on a Canadian flag, it's considered a federal offense, and still to this day it is. So any Canadian flag that had a swastika printed across it, that's a federal offense. In that case, I think, you know, maybe Canada's better than we are if they're going to make that a rule. But we believe in our First Amendment rights so strongly. But she wants you to believe that we, the liberals of Canada, are the only ones standing up for democracy in their country. They're all upset, of course, over this trucker convoy that went through. And that's when Trudeau invoked his unprecedented act at that time, the Emergency Act, invoked for the first time in Canadian history to stop the Freedom Convoy protests across his country. It included blockades of border crossings in Ontario, Manitoba, Alberta. But all the border blockades ended before the Emergencies Act was actually enacted. Never mind, we did it. And they're saying now we're using it largely to clear protest in the capital of Ottawa over the weekend. And they're using it to freeze the bank accounts of those linked to the protest. Also used to force tow truck companies to remove trucks in Ottawa. In the beginning, they were asking tow truck companies, and the tow truck operators said, no, I don't want to get involved in this. They were all around the Parliament buildings, and as I said, many tow truck operators didn't want to go. If they did go, they covered their face, they covered the name on their truck. In some cases, they were forced to do so. All of this gets down to they'd had enough of vaccine mandate lockdown restrictions in Canada. Reportedly, something like 90% of the truckers in Canada have been vaccinated anyway. They just didn't like being mandated to. Now, I don't know if that includes how many of those that were involved in their blockades were part of those that have already been vaccinated or not. That number has never been clear. I don't know that even exists. But Trudeau insists this state of emergency is not over. There continue to be real concerns over the coming days. People out there indicating they're ready to blockade to continue illegal occupation, or rather occupations to disrupt Canadians' lives. Remember the other day, Geraldo Rivera went off the deep, deep end when he said, yeah, the citizens are, you know, they can't get through the intersections and they're honking their horns at night. I mean, that's violent. Did no one up there pay attention to what was happening in this country in 2020 in the summer in Portland, Seattle, and elsewhere when Molotov cocktails were thrown at police, bottles of urine, feces, fires were set, buildings and businesses burned down or looted, and police did little to nothing, especially if they were in liberal areas. We're going to get into that subject a little bit later in this hour because there are some things developing that I've had it up to here. And if you're watching at Larry County's USA live stream YouTube, you know when I say up to here, you know how high I'm talking. And it goes higher than that, I'll tell you that. But anyway, back to this Parliament member, a liberal member in the Parliament in Canada, and she wants to, oh my God, I can't make this stuff up. She wants to tie everything that's happened with the truckers and what's been happening there to the worst thing that faces our nation currently, in the words of Nancy Pelosi and her like, the January 6th revolt at our Capitol when nobody was killed except one protester. There were other deaths, but only one person actually killed. And that protester was trying to climb through a window into a chamber with a backpack, and they had no idea what she had on her if she got inside the chamber. Could not let her in. And she had plenty of opportunities to stop before she got there. She'd served our country in the U.S. Air Force, and apparently a very nice person, an honorable person, but she got caught up in the moment and trying to climb through this window, and one of the Capitol Police guards on the other side said, can't let her in. He fired only one shot. Enough to blow her back out of the window, but it ended up being a fatal shot. But that January 6th protest, I told you it would come back to haunt us forever. I don't mean just between Republicans and Democrats or Trumpers and non-Trumpers. I'm talking about how we would be looked upon by the rest of the nation. And here's your proof. In Canada, when a liberal member of the Canadian Parliament stands up and starts listing what is happening in Canada with trucker convoy blockades and how it equates to everything from January 6th to seizing. We're going to bring in the Second Amendment. They don't have it up there, but they're going to jump on everything. Just listen to this.
How many donors from the Capitol riots, it's 1,100 and counting, who have donated to these illegal blockades? How many guns need to be seized? How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler, do we need to see by these protesters on social media?
Did you hear what she just said? I can't make this S up, this stuff up. She actually, first of all, talking about, again, comparing it to January 6th, has no bearing on what happened at our Capitol. Nobody tried to break into the Ottawa Capitol. They blocked routes in and out, but that's it. She also talked about, you know, how many guns did we have to seize that these truckers were carrying? Were they used on anybody? No. Did they find any Molotov cocktails? No. Did they try to burn down and destroy businesses around the Capitol? No. Did some of them not want to give up their animals? And are the animals were fighting and biting back at police and they were euthanized? And then she brings up that, I want to let you hear it again from her back to back twice, because what she says is so stupid. It absolutely diminishes. It diminishes any real legitimate concern over the Nazis and the Holocaust. But she thinks, oh, this is a great point to make. Listen to this nonsense.
How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler, do we need to see by these protesters on social media? How much vitriol do we have to see of Honk Honk, which is an acronym for Hail Hitler?
It is not related to Hail Hitler. That's like these libs and the way they will take things and distort them. If you're watching right now on Larry Connors USA live stream on YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube live stream, we just started this. We're picking up more and more folks. I can't see full numbers here because some of them are being compressed, but I will tell you this. What I'm going to do right now here on camera, some of you watching might not like it. Some of you might call me out. You might want to call the FCC. You might want to attack the station. You might want to attack me, because here it comes. I'm telling you, I've already warned you, it's coming. If you're watching, maybe I should do like we used to do on TV sometimes. This following video might be so disturbing you may want to turn away. Well, here it is. Are you ready?
How many times do we have to see clear indicators that what is out there is not about the hard 2 years that every Canadian has suffered, but is it about something much deeper and darker and uglier that is threatening the stability of this house, the work that we do as legislators each and every day for our constituents, the democracy that we have to uphold?
There's nothing undemocratic about driving your truck around and honking your horn, and it does not mean Heil Hitler. Now, in addition to that, we know we have a truckers group gathering of 38,000 or more. They're going to make their way from California and be joined by others as they move across the country to be in D.C. in time for the State of the Union address, which is scheduled March 1. Again, you'll find some information at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook, you'll find some information a listener sent me, and I have not checked it out still directly, but it seems to comport and add to other information I've gotten. A lot of folks are being told if you can't take part in it, just make sure you're lining the freeways where they're going to be driving or over the overpasses. That's not a bad idea. Let them know. Let them hear. All right, we've got to spend some time again on Russia-Ukraine and Biden's lack of response or inept response, or I don't know how you describe it. Russia's doing whatever the hell it wants right now. When we come back, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says Putin is pushing on Biden because he also saw Biden when Obama was in office. Stand by.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Even the base of the Democratic Party is now realizing that Putin is extraordinarily dangerous. He has senator after senator calling for very strong sanctions. But the administration, basically, on the Obama model, is for weakness. They avoid war, frankly, by accepting surrender of their own interests. And just the very fact that we are taking Americans diplomats out of Ukraine is an example. I mean, what kind of a signal of weakness is it when you say to your ally, we don't trust enough that you'll be able to survive to keep our embassy fully staffed? And I think that, in effect, Biden has done for the Ukrainian border what he did for the American border. He's made it wide open. He's doing nothing effective. And I think there's a 50-50 chance Russia's going to go a lot further.
I think he's right. Those are the words of Newt Gingrich, former House Speaker. And when he talks about Biden acting like he's going to be tough against Russia, there was a tweet that resurfaced that was done back in February 21, 2020. 2 years and one day ago. And it was saying he was tweeting out because at the time he's running as a Democrat primary candidate against other Democrat primaries in the Democrat primary. And he said, Putin doesn't want me to win. Vladimir Putin does not want me to be president. He does not want me to be our nominee. If you're wondering why, it's because I'm the only person in this field who's ever gone toe-to-toe with him. You lean over and give him a kiss? What'd you do? You stare him down? That was Biden then, and Biden now, I've been kind of trying to follow some of this news conference he is holding right now, and I think it may actually be over, and the news is still coming through kind of slowly. It's all broken up, and believe me, if I check anything, even if I go to some of the not state-controlled media, this information coming through is weak. It doesn't amount to much at all that I can see. Let me see how CNN, let's see how they play it. I mean, I try to check all sources. Well, they headline it, Biden, quote, no justification for Russia's actions in Ukraine. In fact, apparently he mouths off at some point in the room. He says, who in the Lord's name would have done something like this? I mean, what is he going to do, though? He's implying that he's going to put some sanctions in place. They could free some money, free some diplomat transfers and so forth, but it's not very clear that that's going to really matter. In fact, I'm looking at an analysis put out by CNN on these sanctions as they are proposed, and it's talking about the sanctions that could really hurt Russia. They really want to get serious. Well, then they need to, the certification of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Germany has decided it won't certify it right away. That's a very powerful move. Other than that, not much left. Not much left that can be done. And if you recall, last week we had VP Harris go over to meet with the NATO countries and in Europe, all to talk about dealing with the Russians, as if she knew what she was discussing. Former Arkansas Governor Michael Huckabee, who is a Fox News contributor, says it's pathetic.
It was very painful to watch Kamala Harris in that setting. It was apparent she didn't really have a message. She didn't know what she was talking about. There was no command of the issues. It was, as some have described it, word salad. And that's sad what we are presenting. I mean, we'd have been better off sending Hunter Biden over there to talk. He knows Ukraine real well. He's an expert on energy in Ukraine. He would at least have some inside knowledge that Kamala Harris obviously did not possess.
Plus, he's been paid by them. He's made millions, apparently, and maybe Daddy Joe did, too, when he signed with Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. What does Hunter Biden know about energy? He might know how to put gas into the fuel tank. That'd be about it. So he and Harris are pretty much two in the same pod. All right, we're going to take a break and go away an entirely 180 degrees. I want to deal with these liberals, progressives that are over the top and who they're hurting. They're suddenly realizing this isn't working. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And again, reminding you, we are live streaming while we're on the air. We live stream at Larry Connors USA YouTube. Larry Connors USA YouTube. You can watch the program while we're in process. Add remarks if you want. So for the next two segments, the rest of the program, I'm going to focus on this progressive liberalism that has gone so far over the top. It's hurting people it claims it's trying to uphold and protect. And some of them are slowly beginning to understand that. I'm looking at a piece that appeared in Hot Air titled The New York Times. If you like cancel culture, you'll love our paper. The writer, John Sexton, said that, first I thought it must be a satire. Twitter is using a person, T. Greer, on the D.C. Metro and an ad on a screen next to him. Took a series of pictures asking people to guess what it was. He said, mine was like a lot of them. Looking closely, it turns out there's a picture of a person, one of several subscribers, the Time asked to create promotional videos on based on things they've been reading at the New York Times. In other words, you're reading us. Good. And they have a piece about that Liana likes Harry Potter, but of course she's had a turn away from Potter and others as well, too, because Potter has been seen as anti-LGBT, a group of very online trans activists aren't content to be fans. They're just simply trying to erase J.K. Rowling from their memory. It gets in deeper and deeper than that. It's just Potter herself had, not Potter, but Rowling had concluded by referencing the volume of death threats she'd gotten. All right, that's one example where they're just trying to do anything they can to incite. That is more than even Trump did, when you get down to it, that they claim he did. Reference January 6th. And now there's a report that progressive leaders who have ushered in criminal justice reforms theoretically intended to rectify the imbalance of black Americans arrested, convicted, and incarcerated, but in practice, according to the director of the Policing and Public Safety Initiative at the Manhattan Institute, a lot of these policies were designed explicitly around the idea that blacks are so disproportionately represented in the people who are arrested and the people who are prosecuted and convicted, incarcerated, that we need to kind of redesign the criminal justice policy, back engineer that number, make it more like racial demographics of everyone in society. What? So what, you're just going to go grab up some people of a different color to balance a prison, or just let the others out? There's what their answer is. Let the others out. No bail, low bail. A former executive district attorney in the Queens District Office published an essay in the New York Times arguing, and I'm quoting, aiming for racial equity in criminal justice. Are you listening? Aiming for racial equity in criminal justice, rather than focusing solely on deterring and responding to crime, policymakers seem to have neglected the foundational purpose of law and order. What has followed? A sharp rise of victims of crime who remain disproportionately black, and a slight increase in the percentage of Rikers Island inmates who are black is a racial imbalance of a more troubling kind. In other words, they're preying upon their own people. The victims, more and more victims are black or Asian. New York City right now, murders are up 52%. 52% from 2019 to 2021. Shootings up 104%. Car theft, 91%. And black New Yorkers victims in 68% of the murders, according to the New York Times. 68%. So, yeah, that was really solving things, wasn't it? Oh, we're not done. We're not done. Let's go to California. The L.A. District Attorney George Gascon, a special advisor for his office, is defending what happened in the case of Hannah Tubbs. Who's Hannah Tubbs? Hannah Tubbs is a 26-year-old trans child molester who got a slap on the wrist last month after pleading guilty to molesting a 10-year-old in 2014. Now, we're 8 years later. The child was 10 years old at that time. Now, Tubbs is 8 years older, so it was around 18. Apparently were some recordings. They recorded all the phone calls in and out of the jail. So they knew about them, but they weren't doing anything about them. And the guy's basically laughing about what he did to this 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old has since said, the things he did to me and made me do that day was beyond horrible. She's now 18. Beyond horrible for a 10-year-old to go through. He should be tried as an adult for the crimes he committed against me. But what this Tubbs was saying in these cell phone calls, he's laughing about it and what he did and how great it was, so forth. In fact, one person listening said the recordings are disturbing. And when it came to sentencing, he had already said, I'm going to plead out, just plead guilty, no big deal. I'll be on probation, it's going to be dropped, going to be done. It's all fun and games. Don't let me out. So, yep, he pled guilty last month to a cold case attack, which took place in a woman's restroom at a Denny's restaurant when he was just 2 weeks shy of 18, and then the girl was 10 years old. He got a sentence of 2 years at a juvenile facility at that time. They didn't want to move it into adult court. Didn't want to try children as adults when they're acting like that. I think you qualify that you're an adult. You think you know what you're doing? We'll show you. And he could serve as little as 6 months, would not have to register as a sex offender. That was the idea. And then these recordings got out, and the jail officials knew about them. The prosecutor's office knew about them, where he's on there talking about, I'm going to plead it out, and talking about all the things he did to the 10-year-old girl, and it's all kind of fun and happy times for me. The vice president of the Los Angeles Association of Deputy District Attorneys and a critic of Gascon said the DA's office knew about these recordings back in January 2022. But he's claiming that his boss didn't personally know about the recordings until much later. He said that doesn't really comport with the timeline because we know that his executive management team was involved in the Tubbs case in late January. So they were involved at the same time these calls were discovered. He makes this question. I wonder, are they just utterly incompetent or are they lying? Let me answer the riddle for you. Both. How would one of them react? Riddle me this. How would one of them react if it's their child that is sexually molested, assaulted in a restroom at a Pancake House, a Denny's, if this one took place at a Denny's, someplace like that? How would they react to the person that did that? See, there are times like that that I say I think we really need to have what I call a dad's room. Moms can get involved. Mama bears can be really fierce. So I'm not going to take anything away from them. So they can be really fierce. But then you got this case that is similar to others I've seen. This one out of St. Louis County. Foster parents say a county commissioner ignored warnings from social workers, a guardian ad litem, that's someone that's appointed to oversee the welfare of the child, and a pediatrician because of what had happened to a four-year-old and was probably going to happen if a four-year-old was returned to his actual parents and the foster parents were not allowed to keep the child. I want to spend more time on this story in the next segment. Because it's not just this story. It's how these kinds of things are handled, especially when good reporters are really trying to do their job and when other people are trying to do their job and how everything just gets eradicated, redacted, blacked out, move on, nothing to see here, and it might be harmful for the child. Don't you think the child has already been harmed? You don't have to use a full child's name if that's your concern. Rape victims, we never would publish a rape victim's name unless they wanted to. They would want their name published. And if it were a case of incest or a family member, not actually blood member or friend over at the house, if you said the child's name or the molester, then it might identify them. I'll break it down for you in a moment. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA.
I don't know how many times over the decades I served as a news reporter and or anchor, and being unbiased in it, but there's sometimes you can't hide your bias, especially if you're a parent and you see something done wrong to a child and it could have been stopped, or they could have been protected. But you still try to do it the best unbiased approach you can, unless it's your job to be an advocate for a station and something it's doing. I remember one time in one case, I'm calling trying to get information about this three-year-old that had been severely traumatized before finally death. And the response from the agency overseeing the case, not talking about police, I'm talking about juvenile services or whatever, Oh, we can't give you any information on that. That'd violate the child's privacy. Violate the child's privacy, the child's dead. You're going to tell me you're concerned about the privacy at that point? I know I got loud. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I take it back. I'm not going to apologize because this, I've seen so much of it over the years. And there's another case I want to share with you. And I'm going to give credit to Channel 2 Fox News in St. Louis. They did the story, at least the one I pulled up. I assume the other stations and paper have done it as well, but the copy comes from them. So, as usual, I always try to give credit because they did the work and they deserve the credit and are they deserve the blame if it's wrong. I don't think they're wrong, but let's just break it down. It deals with the foster parents of a child by the name of Zadian Doperiak. I may have the name mispronounced. I apologize for that. And the foster parent said a St. Louis County commissioner ignored warnings from social workers, a guardian ad litem, and a pediatrician. They took in the child when he was 4 months old. He had had a non-accidental traumatic brain injury at 5 weeks of age. At 5 weeks of age, a non-accidental. That means somebody did something, right? That's why they put him in the foster care system. So they got him out of the house at that time. And the foster mother says, we were told that he was held and his skull was crushed by hand. When a child's skull is developing, it's extremely sensitive. You know that. And they said, we were originally told due to the brain injury, he had never walked. Turned out he did walk. He walked, he thrived, he loved his dog, glued to Cardinal baseball, excelling in everything they said he would never do. So then the foster parents decided to petition for guardianship. And after 4 years of having him with them, they didn't think a court would disagree. Well, everybody would be on the same page. They also knew that if the child were to be returned, something like this could happen again. He would return to his family. State social workers, a pediatrician, all said that everyone testified it was too dangerous to send this child back home. The foster mother said, when you have so many people telling you the child, if he's returned home, he could be killed, you think somebody would listen? She said, we were shocked when the judge said she was going to do a trial reunification. They were due in court this past January 5, a little over a month ago now, to see how reunification went, because the child was sent back to the original parents 2 days before that January 5 hearing. The four-year-old died, diagnosed with multiple head injuries. Multiple head injuries. Now the birth father is charged with abuse and neglect of a child resulting in death. The foster mother quoted in here is saying she fought back tears, saying, I begged them to be able to give this boy a life that he deserved. When you had so many people, was he just a number? Was he just a case number for you? The commissioner overseeing the case identified as Diane Monahan. I don't know her. I don't know the details of the case other than what I'm reading to you. Fox 2 said it asked for a comment from the commissioner, but also a response to the James concern that they were not going to be allowed to appeal the decision or could not get an outside review. And so far, no response from the commissioner. I don't usually do local stories, but this kind of story is a thing that happens all over our nation too damn many times. When a child is in danger and threat and no one steps up to help them, or when they do, they're turned back over to the abuser. We need to get on our knees. Get on your knees and pray for this child and other children who are facing that same thing even as I speak. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.